Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
We have been talking about the book of Revelation many times. Today we have part 23, which is actually the 24th message about the book of Revelation. Last week we were re-looking at the time of tribulation, but today we want to continue with the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. As the Bible text, we have 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 to and 13. It says, "Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolve, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to the promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 8 are a brief summary of what is described in more details in the remainder of chapter 21 and 22. As example, in verse 2, we see the New Jerusalem, but this is more explained in the verses 9 to 21. In verse 3, we see God dwells among men, and that is described in more detail in verses 22 to 27. In verse 5, we see the renewal of the world for which we are provided more information in Revelation 22, verse 1 to 5. In verse 5, we also see what God or Jesus said, "These words are faithful and true." And that is more explained in Revelation 22, 6 to 10. In verse 6, we see Jesus declare His work is completed when he said, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega." And that is more fully revealed in chapter 22, verse 11 to 15. In verse 6 and 7, we see the final blessing, the water of life to all who thirst. And that is expanded in chapter 22, verses 16 and 17. And in verse 8, we see the final curse upon the rebellious, and that is repeated in Revelation 22, 6, 18, and 19. But now we want to go to chapter 21, verse 1, where it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." There are those who say that God will renovate the universe, the heavens, and the earth, and make the old into new. But my understanding of the scripture is different. Our opening verse in 2 Peter 3, it says, "The heavens will set on fire, will be set on fire and dissolve." To dissolve means it will cease to exist. "And heavenly bodies will melt as they burn." In the same chapter, in verse 10, it says, "The heavens will disappear with a roar." Disappear. No more. "The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." Isaiah says the same thing in chapter 34, verse 4. "All the stars of the heavens will be dissolved, and the sky rolled up like a scroll. All the starry hosts will fall like withered leaves from the vine." like shriveled figs from the fig tree. So these verses are clearly showing that what is now will be totally gone and is something new. We have also studied that in Revelation 6:14. When we studied that chapter, we saw the same things. And again, Isaiah says in chapter 51, verse 6, the heavens will vanish. What does it say? The heaven will vanish like smoke. Like smoke. It's gone. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation and my will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. So if the world is like an old garment, what do you do with an old garment? You throw it and you burn it. It doesn't exist anymore. It cannot be used anymore. According to these verses and others that we have in the Bible, the universe and the world will be destroyed. It will be dissolved. It will be extinguished. But God will create a new heaven and a new earth. The old order will be no more. Everything will be new. We see more about this beautiful new world in later verses. As we start previously in last year when we studied Genesis 1, we saw that between first 1 and first 2, there was a difference, a time when God refurbished and renovated, recreated the whole world, because for some reason God had destroyed it. He did everything well, and he created Adam and Eve. But they betrayed him. And so Satan became the prince of this world. And sin destroyed the beauty of this world. The relationship that Adam had with God was broken because of sin. Instead of getting better, sin increased until God saw no other way but to destroy this world, this place of wickedness. Earth and heaven have to be destroyed and be done away as rubbish. Yet he created a new earth and a new heavens. New one, more beautiful than the first one, in the place where righteousness rules. In verse 2, Revelation 21, verse 2, it says, I saw the new holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Praise the Lord. Jerusalem is a city that God has chosen. We read in first book of Kings, chapter 11, verse 36. It says, Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen to put my name there. And in 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 17, it says, in a house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Forever. Praise God. God has chosen Jerusalem to put his name, not only for a certain period, not until Jesus will come, not only until the millennium, but forever. Jerusalem is a holy city, the city of Zion, the city that he loves. As heaven and earth will pass away, and new heavens and new earth will be created, Jerusalem cannot be missing. John saw a beautiful city dressed upon the new heaven and earth. It came from above. So he calls it the holy city, the new Jerusalem. The vision of this city is described in detail further on in this chapter. In his message to the church of Philadelphia, in Revelation 3:12, Jesus speaks and says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, and he says this new Jerusalem is going to come out of heaven. You will see that later on. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4, it says, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Glory to God. A loud voice came from heaven. It was a new thing that was going to happen. When God created Adam and Eve, they had communion with God. Nothing disturbed their relationship until Eve sinned. In the Old Testament, Moses was commanded to build a tabernacle, the tent of meeting, the place where God would live. And not everybody was permitted to go in. It was only Moses and his assistant Joshua and the priests who were able to go into that tent. God revealed himself to Moses and he spoke to him. He gave him instructions. The priests were to sacrifice in that tent, or just before. Later, Solomon built the temple, the dwelling place of God. The temple was built in the same system like the tabernacle, with a common place, the holy place, and the most holy place. And common people were not permitted to go in. Only the priests could enter. And only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies once a year to make atonement for the nation of Israel. At the death of Jesus Christ, the curtain that separated the most holy from the holy was torn from top to bottom. Because through the sacrifice of Jesus, we now have access to God. We can come directly to him. We don't have to go through a priest. God Father and God Son in the Holy Spirit are living in us. On that day, a new earth will be created. And God will be dwelling with us like he was dwelling with Adam, moving together, talking together. God is dwelling amongst his holy people, praise God. There will be a new intimate relationship between God and the people who live on this new earth. There won't be any sickness, no wickedness, because they have been thrown into the lake of fire. He will be their God, and they will be his people. Nobody is sad because no sadness is there. No tears will be there. No death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has come to an end. It was moved away. Sin was moved away. So there is only purity in that place. Praise God. Now we read Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 to 8. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. We know that death is not something that stops. After death, life goes on. When he talks about the second death, it is because it is called the lake of fire. God on his throne declared that he will make all things new. Hallelujah. John was commanded to write this down because these words are trustworthy and true. God's word assures us what God says, that is. God gave a double declaration. He declared that his words are true and faithful. True is the opposite of false. He's not lying. He's God, and therefore what he says is going to happen. By faithful, he means that he will do exactly as he says. God instructed John to write down all that he had seen and all that God said. God wanted us to know about his promises of this new heaven and this new earth, and the perfect body that we will have, and the life. And he wanted us to assure us of this promise. The one sitting on the throne says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And this is Jesus who says that. Because in Revelation 1:8, he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Praise the Lord. God Father and Son and Holy Spirit are the same. They are the triune God. When he says he's the beginning and the end, it means he's ageless. There's no beginning, there's no end to God. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 37, on that last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And for Revelation 21:6, it says, to him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Of course, it doesn't talk about the water that we buy in the shop. Is the thirst after God, the thirst after his righteousness. thirst to be in the presence of God. And if he stills your thirst, streams of living waters will flow from your belly. If you overcome all this, the new created world, the past perils, the past judgments, you will inherit the new heaven that he promises. As it says in verse 3, he will be my God and I am his son. We will have a father-son relationship or a father-daughter relationship. He who is good and loves us. What a contrast to those who will not inherit all this, but something totally different. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And that is the second death. There are many who think they can create their own future. Even this year is going to be a climate conference in Switzerland, where people from all over the world are coming together. They want to create a clean environment. But they don't want God. God is not needed. These people, they live and sin as if it were the most normal thing on the earth. Many think only about the career or important. The career is important. And a good house, big house is important. And a car. They think when we have achieved all this, we are somebody special. But they work for something that will be dissolved, that will pass away. Whatever they worked for will be dissolved. And they jump into the lake of burning sulfur. People can say, I will do whatever I want. I don't care anybody. It's my life. It's my body. I do as I want. Yes, you can do as you want. But the day of judgment is coming. And then you will change. They will be sorry for not having listened to those who want them. The day is coming when they pluck out their heart, their hair for having been so stubborn. The reason these words are written is to be warned of what comes. Warned of what comes. We have to be present. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. Because if we are not prepared, we will not go up, we will go down. Then Revelation 21 verse 9, it says, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Who is a bride, the wife of the Lamb? In the Old Testament, God likens Israel as an unfaithful wife. Especially in Hosea, we see that God talks about Israel as his wife, who has become unfaithful. After Pentecost, the church became the bride of the Lamb. Therefore, we are taking part in a wedding feast of the Lamb, in Revelation 19. Here in Revelation is a change. It's not people, it's a place. The new Jerusalem. It's a place, but it's also a description of the saints of God. Most commentators, they keep quiet about this. But let us read what Isaiah said, chapter 65, verse 17. Behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Past is past and forgotten. You don't even remember what was before. Therefore, in the heavenly Jerusalem, there are different values, different things that occupy your mind. If all things are past, Israel and the church is past, and we are joined as one in Christ. The heavenly Jerusalem is a bride in such a way that all believers of the Old and New Testament were joined together, living with Jesus. And as much as Jesus described the Lamb as what is described as a Lamb, so is his wife of the Lamb, all those who are saved out of the world by the sacrifice of the Lamb. Jerusalem is the abode of the Lamb and of the believers of all ages. Praise God. Then we want to read Revelation 21, verse 10 to 14. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of very precious jewel, like a jasper, like a crystal. It had great and high walled 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east side, 3 on the north, 3 on the east, 3 in the south, and 3 in the west. There will be, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. What John saw was beyond description. How can you describe the glory of God? The glory of God in all its brilliance, it looked like precious stones. It's very important to note that everything looked like, it doesn't say it was these stones, but it looks like them. It looked like it doesn't mean that John described it on account of what he saw, and he had to describe what he could not describe with the things that he knew. Revelation chapter 21, verse 15 to 21, it says, the angel who talked with me had a measuring line of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. He measured the wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. What a magnificent city! How magnificent! And this is our future. This is where we are going to spend eternity. 12,000 stadia. That is about 2,200 kilometers or 1,600 miles. The city had 12 gates on which were the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Each gate was like a massive pearl. You know pearls, but this was so big that a gate into the city could be made through it. The city had 12 foundations upon which were the names of the 12 apostles. The foundation was decorated with every kind of precious stones. The measurement of man's measures means that it is literally that size. A 2,200 kilometers long, 2,200 kilometers high, wide, and 2,200 kilometers high. It would be a massive cube. 2,200 kilometers is about the distance from Bern in Switzerland to Moscow, and that in a square. This is about 5 million square kilometers. Praise God. These pictures only show the immense size of the city. We know that there will be a new heaven, a new earth. There will be no sea. Therefore, the new world will be a different shape from what we have today, a different size, yet still the city is massive, large, and the city walls are 2,200 kilometers high, 144 cubits thick, is 65 meters or 200 feet. The 12 gates of the city have the name of the 12 tribes of Israel engraved. That symbolizes that the only way to come to God is through the Messiah of the 12 tribes, the Messiah of the Jewish nation. No person can enter the heavenly city unless they come through the gate of salvation, provided by God. The names of the 12 apostles are inscribed on the foundation stones. The foundation of the city is a testimony of the 12 apostles, the testimony that declared Jesus is the Lamb of God. It is a sacrificial death of Jesus as a Lamb of God that makes the city available to people. The material of the city is incredible. The walls are made of jasper, a crystal-like rock that is greenish in color. The crystal sparkles with most beautiful colors as the glory of God is reflected on it. The city is made of pure gold, And gold is as clear as glass. There is no such clear gold on the earth nowadays. And the 12 gates are 12 huge pearls. The streets are made of pure gold. The city, the beauty of the city is above imagination. It was so clear and so powerful, so glorious that John had problems in describing it. Now we go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 to 27. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no one day will its gates ever be shut, nor for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does not what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Praise God. The temple was essential in the earthly Jerusalem as a center of religious worship. It was a seat of God. It was a place where people brought sacrifices, where people brought gifts unto God. And Jesus taught in the temple most of the time. And he said, "This is my Father's house." During the millennium, the temple in Jerusalem will have great importance. But here in the heavenly Jerusalem, it was different. In heaven, there is no need for external symbols of the Lord's presence, because he will be there personally and dwells amongst them. He will be amongst them to communicate and to receive their adoration. This city doesn't need sun or moon to lighten the day or the night. No street light, no electrical light, no torches. For the glory of God will lighten it. The glory of God will lighten it. Yea, the Lamb will be the light and felicity of it. Praise God. The glory of God will be on the world, on the new world. The glory will shine over the waters. This is not the Ukrainian flag. This is the glory of God that is shining. Praise God. Then in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 19 to 20, it says, The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. How powerful, how wonderful, how glorious our home in heaven. The glory of God will illuminate everything. The inhabitants of the city will be so numerous, from every tribe, from every nation, from every language. All those whom Jesus had saved. And they will walk in the light of God and the Lamb continually and eternally. This glory and wealth is breathtaking. It will be bring honor and glory unto God. Moreover, nothing sinful or unclean can enter. No unclean thing has admission to that city. All the inhabitants are absolutely perfected in holiness. All increase, they rejoice and participate in each other's happiness, being all excellent, loving, lovely, beyond expression or imagination. Our life on earth decides where we will spend eternity. Whether we spend eternity in this heavenly Jerusalem or in the lake of fire. We have seen the lake of fire and the glory of the heavenly Jerusalem. And though there are those who believe that after death we have a certain chance. But the Bible says something different. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, just as man is desired to die once, and after that to face judgment. You die only once, and then comes the judgment. There is no second chance. The verse shows that there is no second chance. The word reminds us to live according to the standards of God. Peter wrote, what kind of people ought we to be? You ought to be to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. We ought to live holy and godly lives as we look forward to the new to the end of the ends, when we shall dwell in the heavenly Jerusalem. We live godly lives and bring as many as possible into his kingdom so that they too can live in the heavenly Jerusalem. That is our duty, for ourselves to live godly lives and for others to tell them of the glory that is awaiting us and that they have to give their lives to Christ. Amen.